Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We've seen a lot of these companies that have gone into bankruptcy, such as Voyager and Celsius, as well as FTX even, start to be exiting bankruptcy. And that means some of the losses you may have experienced as a customer of those places might become solidified in the sense, and for tax purposes, mean you now know what you were holding there, you know what you're going to get back, and you can start looking at being able to possibly take a tax deduction.
It's Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, and this is Markets Daily, a show where we get into the minds of the smartest and most experienced investors, traders, and analysts. I'm Jen Sinassi. Before we get into our discussion today, let's take a look at today's prices. Everything is in the red this morning, according to CoinDesk indices at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Bitcoin was down more than 5.5% at $65,545. Ether down more than 6.5% at $3,309. And the CoinDesk 20 index was down 7.4% at 2,490 points. For more on the market's action, let's bring in Senior Director of Government Solutions at TaxBit, Miles Fuller. Miles, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Now, I said for more on the market's action, but we really are going to dive into taxes and how they might impact market action. Let's start at the very beginning here. We're talking to investors and traders. What do they need to know about taxes this year?
All right. So this year, Jen, for taxes, what people want to be thinking about as investors is, if you remember back in 2022, the markets were down. And so you might have had losses if you took advantage of tax loss harvesting. And everyone knows in the crypto space, the U.S. tax rule known as the wash sale rule doesn't apply to crypto. So you could have taken advantage of some tax loss harvesting. You therefore might have had some losses you couldn't take advantage of. So you're just holding on to them. So now that you're doing your 2023 taxes, you can maybe take advantage of those losses if you had gains last year as markets were moving upward. So you should go back and check that. The other item for taxes you really should be at top of mind is we've seen a lot of these companies that have gone into bankruptcy, such as Voyager and Celsius, as well as FTX even, start to be exiting bankruptcy. And that means some of the losses you may have experienced as a customer of those places might become solidified in the sense, and for tax purposes, mean you now know what you were holding there, you know what you're going to get back, and you can start looking at being able to possibly take a tax deduction. So those are a few things that I really think people should be thinking about this year as they're getting ready to file their taxes.
Let's talk about FTX for example. So we've recently learned through the bankruptcy estate that FTX customers are going to be made whole. So they're going to get the cash equivalent of the crypto they had on the exchange in November 2022. That's when the exchange went bankrupt. What does this mean for people who are going to recover those funds at the cash equivalent of November 2022 when it comes to their taxes?
So I think it can still be a little tricky from a tax standpoint. So if you're going to be made whole, then generally you wouldn't have suffered a tax loss. So you wouldn't be able to deduct anything. There still could be a question, though, if your holdings were in the form of a particular cryptocurrency and now you're being made whole with some other type of property or some other type of cryptocurrency, such as ownership of a new company or something, I think that's part of that plan, then you need to maybe speak with a tax professional about what that looks like, because you still are converting one type of property into another type of property. And that very well might trigger some sort of tax requirement that you have a disposition of the property, just like you would have capital gain normally. And so there's a question that could arise there. I'll be curious to see, looking ahead, if the IRS were to come out with some sort of guidance or information for investors to know how to deal with that on their tax year, on their tax returns in a general sense, because this is a little bit of an oddball situation. We haven't seen stuff like this in these bankruptcies where you had consumers that made up a massive part of the creditor base in the bankruptcy for these big companies. It's just a weird novel tax situation.
You mentioned IRS guidelines. Is there anything in the guidelines, the tax rules this year that are different than last?
No, there haven't been any huge changes. The largest changes we saw looking backward actually came out beginning of 2023. And we haven't really seen much new movement from the IRS in substantive tax issues. Now, where I work at TaxBit, one of our focus is not so much on substantive tax, but the information reporting side of tax. So that's just like in your day job, you get a W-2 from a traditional broker, you might get a 1099 about your trades. The IRS had a massive step forward last fall where they published proposed regulations that would be imposed upon exchanges, things we might categorize as digital asset brokers, where they're going to have to start doing in a year or two some information report return filing. That's going to let customers know, hey, during the year you bought or sold this crypto at this price, you like bought it at this price, sold at this price, here's your tax situation. That should go a long way to making tax reporting much simpler for individuals in the near future.
Let's talk a little bit more about the IRS. I was reading that recently they worked with the Department of Justice on the first standalone criminal charges for crypto tax fraud. Now, the person who was accused here is accused of underreporting or failing to report the sale of $4 million worth of Bitcoin in 2017 and 2019. Just curious, given your background, what this indicates to you. Is the IRS going to be cracking down more on the crypto space? Do investors and traders really need to start getting their ducks in a row? And that's from 2017, 2019. How far back do we need to be looking at our crypto activity?
So generally, I could pick that apart into a couple. There's a couple good questions in there. So the first, at a high level, the enforcement thing, I think it does show. That the IRS is really trying to pay attention and crack down here. Now, think of the IRS in two ways, though. Both the, what I'm going to say, the civil side. So that's the non-criminal stuff. That's just your normal audit where maybe you have to pay some back taxes. Then there's the criminal side where you may end up going to jail or having to pay restitution to a bunch of stuff. This charge you're talking about was a criminal charge. It's the first of its kind. We've heard a lot about various federal law enforcement agencies doing things criminally, even including the IRS's criminal division, but it's never been a pure tax charge. The difficulty there comes with the tax calculations. Like if they're going to do a tax charge, they have to show that someone didn't pay tax. So that it means it's all this tricky tax math, like cost basis and stuff. This situation shows that they've started to crack, sort of crack the secret way to do that and get all the data correctly so they could properly do it. And they were able to bring this charge. I think you're going to see more of that going forward. So that's a good thing to have on your radar. Now, generally the IRS is out on the enforcement side to grab people up. Now, time-wise, you asked kind of about the timing. Normally on the civil side, the IRS, if you filed your tax return on time, the IRS can only look backwards 3 years. So there's a little bit of a limit. However, if you did leave off a significant amount of taxable income from your return, they can extend that to 6 years. And on the criminal side, it's generally 6 years. But then if you were a really bad actor, they actually could become unlimited. If they deemed you as to committed like civil tax fraud or something, they can go very far back. It's always good. I personally always would recommend do the best you can, get the information you have on the return. It's always a better position than being 100%. I've talked to people over time. They're like, well, I just didn't put anything because I wasn't sure if it was right. It's better to get it on there as best you can so you've reported it, as opposed to having it be 100% correct, because the IRS is a lot more forgiving in that situation.
Miles, you said go to jail so casually, and I don't think I'm alone in this, but every tax season, I sit there and I think, is this the year? Is this the year I go to jail for reporting my taxes incorrectly? And there's a recent survey that was published by Cash App that found that 25% of Gen Zers feel the same way as I do. They said that they need a therapist after dealing with tax filing stress. Why do you think there's such stress and uneasiness when it comes to filing taxes?
I'm not sure, but we all feel that anxiety, I think. I was a lawyer for the IRS for a number of years, but there's still, even at my level, there's like some level of anxiety, like, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? Did I miss something? Am I going to get in trouble? And then actually, as an employee of the IRS, it became a higher bar of like, hey, if you didn't do this right, they're going to come kind of talk to you. But I'm not sure what it is. There's something I feel any engagement with the government is that way. You know, that you just You're always nervous. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm doing this right, but am I someone going to catch me doing something wrong? But the good news is, like I said, I do think the IRS, generally speaking, in the years I spent there, most people are pretty regular people, and they're just trying to do their job. And if you're doing your best effort to get everything on there, then they're generally pretty understanding. And one thing I can say from my experience in this particular space is that the IRS generally is pretty understanding of the difficulties here in doing taxes. They appreciate that the data is not perfect and that there are definitely still some open tax questions with certain activity you might do, particularly in the DeFi space or some of the lending stuff. So if you're trying to take a position and do it and get all the information there and do it correctly, then generally they might decide that you didn't do something right, but they're fairly forgiving about it and say, hey, we just need to correct this. Maybe you owe a little bit. Maybe you get a little bit of a tax refund. Maybe something, you know, sort of like bank error in your favor from Monopoly or something. You get a little bit of money back. That's happened before too.
Imagine a financial system that was all on an open ledger that was immutable. How easy it would be to do your taxes.
Oh, it would be pretty easy if it was all there. Although I think the flip side, you hear a lot of grumblings. This came out when these regulations I mentioned, where the government's trying to, at least, you know, for brokers, so this would sort of more lend itself to centralized exchanges in the distributed ledger space, doing this tax reporting. So all of the information would be available, make it very easy to do. The IRS would get the information as well. So it'd be very seamless in some ways. However, obviously there's people with privacy concerns. All of a sudden, if you start talking about, hey, this is my address, this is this, then they worry, like, would the government surveil me or so? So those are real questions that need to be determined. You know, people as policymakers need to think about the balance here between what they need and what they don't need. It's a difficult question, but it would make things very easy to administer because all the information would be available.
It would make things easy come tax season, but you bring up some good points. There are definitely some downsides when it comes to privacy. Miles, as we wrap this up, if you were to summarize the three things that we should know going into tax season to maybe alleviate some of that stress we spoke about, what would they be?
I always suggest to people now, like, and it may be a little late now because we're in the middle of tax season, is be diligent about where you're doing your activity. Know which exchanges you're on, know which wallets, software providers you might use, or what addresses or wallets you might have so you can get the data. And be diligent, you know, places go out of business and so sometimes you lose access to data. So try and be diligent about getting your data and get everything ready so when you need to do your taxes, you have all of the information you might need. And then think about losses you might have had in prior tax seasons that you were not able to use. So from a tax standpoint, if you had losses that exceeded $3,000, you only get to deduct $3,000 in 1 year. So anything above that gets carried forward to the next year. So sometimes people forget that they didn't take advantage of all their losses because they were limited. So think about that. And then also be thinking about, as I mentioned earlier, these companies that are exiting bankruptcy now. And where do you sit with what did you have invested with those companies or in holdings at those companies and how that might impact your taxes?
Miles, thanks so much for joining today's show. I say it every time we chat, but you make talking about taxes fun. And I've never met anyone who can do it like you. So thanks very much.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me, Jen.
That's it for today's show.